I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Stephanie Dupree, Development Manager for the Nevada Chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. And it's almost that time of year again. The organization's 10th annual Winter Wine Fest is coming up very soon. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. We're excited to talk wine with you.
Yeah, so first of all, what is the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation?
Yeah, so I am representing the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation, and we are the main source of information and support for people here in Nevada who are diagnosed with an inheritable bleeding disorder. So we provide services and education and help connect people all over the state who are diagnosed. And it's a pretty rare condition. So, you know, when someone gets that diagnosis, it can be a little scary, and you're not going to know anybody else in your life who is going through it. So we try to be a resource that brings people together and gives them hope.
What exactly is a bleeding disorder?
So a bleeding disorder, there's a protein missing in your blood that just means that your body is not able to produce a clot. And so it doesn't mean that you bleed more than other people. It just means that your body isn't able to stop it once you do start bleeding. The most famous bleeding disorder that we work with that people might know of is hemophilia. Hemophilia means that your blood isn't clotting properly. The most common bleeding disorder that people are diagnosed with now is von Willebrand's disease. That does affect men and women, and it's more common. It's not as severe, but it's something that women typically are diagnosed with once they reach puberty.
Okay. When was the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation started?
We have been a chapter since 1990, and we've been working here in Nevada helping people. The National Bleeding Disorder has been around since the 1950s, but yeah, we've been working here for a long time. Our founder actually was a nurse who was one of the people who helped originally diagnose von Willebrand's disease, saying that and learning that it was different than some other bleeding disorders, and help provide treatment and get a lot of people tested and treated here in Nevada. And, we have a long history of helping to bring in medical care into the community. We helped establish a hemophilia treatment center here in Las Vegas. And yeah, so we're really proud of our history and our legacy and, helping children and families get through this, because it is a chronic condition. There is no cure for a bleeding disorder. Once you're diagnosed, it's something that you're going to have to take medication for and deal with for the rest of your life. And so being a resource throughout people's lives from when they're first diagnosed, maybe as children, and then throughout the different stages of their life, there's different needs.
Yeah. What types of resources and services do you offer to people who are going through that journey?
Well, we provide a lot of different things. One of the things that we have been doing a lot recently is helping people with financial assistance. Having a bleeding disorder, it's very expensive. It's one of the most expensive diseases to treat. The medication needed in order to live a normal life, in order to make your blood clot properly, it can cost thousands and thousands of dollars per month. And so a lot of the families that have a bleeding disorder, it's not just one, it runs in the family. So maybe it's multiple children that have a bleeding disorder. And so it's a big expense. A lot of times there's a lot of health insurance issues that we help families work through, whether it's getting on Medicare or Medicaid and figuring out the best way to be able to afford their medications. But we also provide a lot of fun social opportunities for children. The wine fest that we're having in February, it's our biggest fundraiser that specifically supports our summer camp programs for kids. Our youth summer camps, they're medically supervised. And so it's a chance for kids to just be kids and be safe. A lot of times, if you have a medical condition, like a chronic condition, like a bleeding disorder, you're not allowed to go to a regular camp because maybe it just, it's not safe for people to understand how to treat it properly. So we help kids kind of have a normal life and also just to gain some independence and learn how to take care of themselves and learn how to take their medication on their own and just really help ease that transition from being a kid to being an adult with a bleeding disorder and how to make that as easy as possible.
Nice. Okay. So the Winter Wine Fest is your biggest fundraiser. Tell us more about what's happening at the 10th annual Winter Wine Fest in February.
Yeah, this is such a fun event, and we love it because it's a chance for the community to learn more about bleeding disorders, but also do it in this really fun setting. Over the last 10 years, we've grown it into this party where we have people who are donating wine. We get wine donated from local distributors and local wineries, both here in Nevada and in California. So you get a chance to taste a lot of different types of wines that you might not normally be able to get. And then not only that, but there's a really great silent auction that people can find great deals on. You know, the great thing about silent auctions is it's a chance to find good deals on, you know, just local things that are going on. So we have, you know, sporting events and restaurants. You can get a facial, you can get a night in, all for this great price. And all the money that gets raised stays here in Nevada, helping local families, because it stays here in our organization. But this is going to be the second year in a row that we're at the Vegas Event Center downtown. And it's this really great location where it has this vintage old Vegas feel. It's like affiliated with a couple of the wedding chapels downtown. So we're leaning into that vintage Vegas vibe that's at this location. And we're going to have some fun things. Like, we're going to have Elvis there doing a performance. We're going to have some photo opportunities with him and with some showgirls. Yeah. And it's just going to be a very good time. There's going to be a DJ. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be a wine pull giveaway where you spin the wheel, you know, it's $20 for a spin, and wherever it lands, you get to take home a bottle of wine.
Wow. Okay. That sounds really fun.
Yeah. And, you know, there's great food. There's appetizers. There's going to be different photo opportunities. And then it's a chance to just meet other people who care about the bleeding disorder community or care about, you know, a wine, and just a chance to meet like-minded people who want to give back. And it's a great deal because it's, once you buy a ticket on our website, it's unlimited tasting. So once you're in the door, you can get you can taste as many different wines as you want. And it's nice. So it's 2 hours of unlimited wine tasting. If you do get the VIP ticket, that you get a special early entrance, so you get an extra hour and a special wine and chocolate pairing activity.
Nice. Okay. So it's at the Vegas Event Center downtown. It's happening in February, but when exactly is it happening?
Yes. Yeah, so it's on a Friday evening. So it's Friday, February 7th. And it's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. is the general admission. So it's 2 hours, unlimited wine tasting and appetizers, and you get full access to the event. And those general admission tickets are only $50 if you buy it ahead of time, and $60 at the door. But if you do want to upgrade and get the VIP experience, those tickets are only $80. You get in the door an hour early at 6 p.m. on that Friday evening. And then you get access to the wine and chocolate pairing activity, and then a special VIP gift. And that is limited just because of we have some special wines that we're bringing in for this tasting. And because it's a pairing with food, that is limited. So it's only the first 40 people that buy tickets for the VIP experience are going to be able to partake in that. And again, so it's Friday, February 7th. It's over by 9. So if you want to turn this into, you know, to a whole night, you know, this could be a great start to an evening and go out. And it doesn't start, the general admission, you know, isn't until 7. So you definitely, if you work a 9 to 5, you have time after work to get over to downtown Las Vegas and join us.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. All right. So where can people go to find out more, first of all, about what the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation does, if they want to get involved, maybe as a volunteer or donating, or of course, if they want to get tickets to the Winter Wine Fest?
Absolutely. So our website is nv.bleeding.org. Again, that's nv.bleeding.org. And that's our website for the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. And so you can buy, that's the only place to buy tickets, is directly from our website, because that's how we make sure that 100% of the proceeds stay with our organization and go back to our programs and our services. But I would definitely encourage you to log in. You can learn all about the event. We have pictures from last year's event, if you want to take a look at what that was like. That was a very fun night. That's going to be on the website as well. But there's a ton of information, not only about the services that we provide and about our summer camps, but like you said, if you wanted to sign up and be a volunteer, if you want to be a camp counselor, or you just want to help out
at our education events that happen throughout the year, or our Unite Walk, which is our big charity walk that happens in October. There's information about that on our website as well. And there's also just general bleeding disorder information. If you ever had a question about what that means to have a bleeding disorder, or if you question whether your symptoms are normal, you know, is my nosebleed normal, or is my monthly cycle, is that normal, or is that heavy? You can find answers to those questions on our website as well.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, that website is nv.bleeding.org. NV, of course, for Nevada. nv.bleeding.org. That's for the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. You can find out more about bleeding disorders there. If you'd like to sign up to volunteer or make a donation, you can do all of that there. Plenty of information as well. And of course, if you'd like to get tickets to the 10th annual Winter Wine Fest, you can also do that at the website. And again, the Winter Wine Fest is happening on Friday, February 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. with the VIP experience starting at 6 p.m. at the Vegas Event Center downtown. That's on Las Vegas Boulevard, just south of Charleston. Friday, February 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. And remember, the VIP, only 40 tickets are available. That's happening at 6 p.m. So if you'd like to get tickets right away to that, that would be a great opportunity to do that as well. nv.bleeding.org. And we've been speaking with Stephanie Dupree. She's the development manager for the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. And Stephanie, I really appreciate you being here and sharing more about what the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation does in the community, the resources and services that you offer to people who need to have them, and also this amazing event that you have coming up, the 10th annual Winter Wine Fest. So thank you so much for being here and sharing today.
Thank you so much. You know, we really appreciate the opportunity to get information out to the community. So I definitely appreciate you, Heather. Thank you for what you do.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm Heather Vail. Joining me is Lejeune Montgomery Tebron, President and CEO of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and author of the new book, How We Heal, as well as the companion children's book, Our Differences Make Us Stronger. According to a Gallup poll from September, a record-breaking 80% of U.S. adults believe that the country was greatly divided on the most important values. January 21st is the National Day of Racial Healing, which occurs each year on the Tuesday following Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Lejeune, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, what's the W.K. Kellogg Foundation?
The Kellogg Foundation is a private foundation founded by Will Keith Kellogg to improve the lives of children across the nation and the world. He wanted all children to thrive, regardless of race, creed, or nationality.
Nice. And what is the National Day of Racial Healing?
The National Day of Racial Healing is a day that follows Martin Luther King Day, as you mentioned, intentionally, because it's a day of action. We want it to be a day of people connecting with one another all across the nation and the world. This is about building shared understanding with people across differences. It's connecting us through our stories and building trusting relationships.
That's great. Now, this year, of course, it doesn't just follow Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It also follows Inauguration Day. How does that change the energy around the day?
We know that people want to connect with one another. We've been through a very divisive season. Healing is about connection. Healing is about allowing people to understand one another, to decrease the empathy gap that we know exists among us. So it's a way of through your own stories, connecting with another person, and, you know, building a shared understanding and a way to work together so we can build a better future for our children and families.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what is happening in various cities around the country to observe the National Day of Racial Healing?
Yes, and there are many activations across the nation, and people are having watch parties. They're hosting healing circles where people come together across differences and actually practice the methodology. They share stories. They understand the different perspectives that people bring. And then they think together about how they can improve their communities and create better conditions for children and families in their communities to thrive.
That's awesome. And what if we're not close to a live event that's taking place on that day?
You can go to our website, dayofracialhealing.org. You'll see a conversation guide. You'll find the tools. You can host your own conversation. You can host your conversation within your family, within your community. It doesn't have to be a planned event. It's just a practice. It's a way that we connect with people and build our shared understanding and, you know, become more empathetic around the differences that we all hold.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, what inspired you to write your new book, How We Heal?
I wrote the book because it is a moment, I think, in this nation that requires healing. The book is about my story. It's my memoir, but yet is told through interconnecting stories of my journey, my healing journey, as well as the healing journey of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and the stories of our grantees, where the power of healing is demonstrated. It's a moment now where people need these stories. I want people to resonate with my story, to see themselves in these stories, and to see the pathway forward, how we can connect with one another without blaming or shaming one another, but accepting our common humanity and together working collectively to make sure that all people thrive.
That's fantastic. And what prompted you to write a children's book at the same time, Our Differences Make Us Stronger?
I would have wanted this children's book as a young person. The story that I share in the children's book is about a situation that I encountered very early in life, where I lost my best friend, who happened to be white, as her family moved away from our neighborhood. I realized through this writing process that I hadn't fully healed from that event. And I wanted to share a story with young people so that they can better understand their own differences and they can understand how to connect with young people all across America, regardless of the differences that we may have.
That's awesome. Now, racial healing is a fantastic concept, but what are some examples of how you've seen racial healing work in the real world?
Yes, I love to talk about the story in Flint, Michigan. We supported Flint, Michigan soon after the water crisis. And we brought our Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation process to the community. And through that process, they were able to connect with one another, build trusting relationships in the midst of what was very much a lack of trust across the community. But they worked together, they conducted healing circles, they created shared understanding, and they engaged everyone to be able to create the pathway for everyone to really survive that water crisis. And the beauty of healing is that it wasn't just used for that moment. When the pandemic hit, again, this community was prepared and they came together and they allowed for everyone to understand how to access healthcare and how they would create access for everyone in their community. Healing work undergirded all of these crises, and that's the work of healing. It builds those trusting relationships and allows people to connect in an empathetic way that makes sure that everyone is seen and heard.
That's amazing. Okay, you did give the website one time, but where can our listeners go to learn more about the National Day of Racial Healing or get a copy of one of your books?
Dayofracialhealing.org.
All right, fantastic. So once again, that website, dayofracialhealing.org. It's all about the National Day of Racial Healing, which again is coming up on Tuesday, January 21st, the day after Martin Luther King Jr. Day. dayofracialhealing.org. And you can also find out about Lejeune's brand new two books, one for adults, How We Heal, and a companion children's book, Our Differences Make Us Stronger. Once again, dayofracialhealing.org. And we've been speaking today with Lejeune Montgomery Tabron. She's the president and CEO of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and also author of the new book, How We Heal, and the companion children's book, Our Differences Make Us Stronger. And Lejeune, I really appreciate you being here and bringing to light this really important concept and everything that you're doing to help people across the nation, children, adults, families, helping us heal and grow together into 2025. So thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
Young or old, black or white, or anything in between. From employees to entrepreneurs, doctors to detectives, some things define us and set us apart. But there's one thing that binds us. Before anything, we are one thing. Born to be Americans, proud to be Americans. Our United States are our united fates. Know your Constitution.
Unity, it's an American thing. From AmericanThing.org.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Kenneth E. Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease, or PFCD, and a professor and chair at Emory University. Many people set weight loss resolutions for the new year, and a recent study from the PFCD highlights the potential financial savings that could result from moderate weight loss by obese adults. Dr. Thorpe, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what is the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease?
Well, PFCD is a not-for-profit coalition of over 80 organizations, business, labor, patient groups, industry groups. So we really cover the whole spectrum of the healthcare industry, and we really have focused traditionally on three issues: preventing the growth in chronic disease, finding ways to detect it earlier, and engaging in more effective ways of taking care of patients that have multiple chronic conditions. And our focus here is primarily because chronic disease is the leading cause of the growth in healthcare spending. In Medicare, it accounts for over 90% of what seniors spend on healthcare. So it is critical to keep people healthier, and it's also critical if we want to reduce the growth in healthcare spending.
Yeah, okay. So what are the key findings from your recent study on obesity and weight loss?
Well, we found that individuals who are overweight or obese, if they reduce their weight by, let's say, 20 to 25%, which is certainly what we're seeing with these new GLP-1 medications, so it's completely feasible, that we could save over 30% of what obese and overweight patients spend on healthcare. So there's a potential for enormous savings, potentially billions of dollars here, in reducing healthcare spending by really finding effective interventions to modify diet, exercise, nutrition, lifestyle, and we have effective programs to do that. But combined with some of these new exciting GLP-1 medications that I'm sure people have seen on TV, the combination of those can result in very substantial reductions in what we spend on healthcare.
Okay, so why would healthcare expenses be lower, corresponding with lower numbers on the scale?
Well, because we know that weight is associated with the prevalence of chronic disease. So if you have people that are lower weight, we're going to prevent chronic disease in the future. We're going to prevent heart disease, as we've seen going forward. So we're going to have fewer people with a heart failure, fewer people that have a stroke, fewer people with diabetes, high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol. All of these are the main contributors to the growth in healthcare spending. And for people who lose weight, you're going to be less likely to have a stroke, less likely to have a heart attack. We'll have fewer emergency room visits, fewer ambulance rides. All of those are going to be important contributors to why we can save money.
Okay. And how does obesity affect absenteeism in the workplace and overall quality of life?
Well, again, we know that obesity affects not only what people spend on healthcare, but it does affect issues around workforce productivity. You're more likely to be absent from work because you're sick, you have a medical event that doesn't allow you to come to work or be active in work. So productivity is lower, absentee rates are higher, and it all goes back to the fact that if you're more likely to have a medical event linked to excess weight, you're more likely not to be able to fully participate in the workforce.
Interesting. Okay. Now, you mentioned lifestyle changes. So what are some simple lifestyle changes that people could make to reduce their weight?
Well, there's a program that Medicare covers and many employers cover called the Diabetes Prevention Program, which is a combination of lifestyle changes, which include changes in diet, nutrition, focusing more on getting away from processed foods in particular. There's also physical activity goals of having not only just 10,000 steps a day, but number of physical activity minutes a day. And you can do that in a variety of ways. But a lot of it is really focused on diet, exercise, and nutrition that with effective counseling and working with coaches that the Diabetes Prevention Program in particular provides have been shown to be effective at reducing weight. And you combine that with these new GLP-1 medications, it's a very powerful double punch that can really reduce weight, reduce healthcare spending, and make patients and individuals healthier. So I think they're all important.
Okay. Now, you mentioned these medications a few times, and I know that there is a little bit of controversy around people taking it for, you know, if it's meant for diabetes and they don't have diabetes and taking it just for weight loss. What are the parameters around when it's good to take them or not?
Well, again, that's something should be done in consultation with your physician. Really, for the most part, they do focus on patients that are largely obese, so have a body mass index of 30 and above. There are some of the GLP-1s that are indicated just for weight loss. There are others that are indicated for managing blood sugar levels. So depending on the medication, they may have different impacts and have a different set of underlying prescriptions linked to what the physician and what the patient is trying to get done. So we've seen more and more of these emerge. They pretty much work the same way, but the variation in them is important because they do target different types of underlying conditions.
Yeah, okay. So besides consulting with their physician, which is, of course, a great idea, where can people find out more information about weight loss and chronic disease?
Well, if you go to our website, which is one word, fightchronicdisease.org, we have a variety of data and information there about weight loss and the economic benefits associated with it. My study that was published in JAMA Health Forum last month is referenced there as well. So for people who want to dig into the study and see the details, they should be able to get that through our website, fightchronicdisease.org.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, that website is fightchronicdisease.org. That's the partnership to fight chronic disease, fightchronicdisease.org. You can find out more about chronic disease. You can find out more about obesity and weight loss. And of course, you can access the study that we referenced today that was recently published by Dr. Kenneth E. Thorpe. And of course, we've been speaking with Dr. Kenneth E. Thorpe today. He's the chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease and a professor and chair at Emory University. And Dr. Thorpe, I really appreciate you being here and highlighting these issues and some simple ways that people can take control of their weight and potentially also their finances as a result. So thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Carly Ruskowski, Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming for AARP. Older Americans now make up a significant portion of the labor force, but many face unique challenges, including age bias and discrimination. Carly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, what does the job search landscape look like now?
We're still in a really tight labor market with historically low unemployment rates. There are more job openings than those looking. And our latest survey that was asking people 50 and older if they're looking to switch jobs in 2025, and 24% said yes, which is a 10% increase over last year. The data is showing that more Americans are looking to switch jobs now more than at any point in the past decade. More money is the top reason, followed by people wanting more flexible work options, as well as wanting work that's meaningful.
Wow. Okay. Those are some interesting statistics. Now, what should older workers know about looking for a job in 2025 if they're like that 24% of 50 plus who are looking for a new opportunity?
Well, we want older job seekers to have a resume that highlights their skills and not their age. So we recommend that your resume not be longer than 2 pages, that it should focus on recent experience, the last 10 to 15 years. And while you need to include your credentials, you don't need to include graduation dates. You should remove your street address, which is an outdated practice. And if you're hanging on to an old AOL or Hotmail email address, we recommend that you upgrade to a more modern service like Gmail. Another best practice that's good for all job seekers is to bot-proof your resume. So some organizations are using AI bots to screen resumes and sometimes eliminate candidates before they're even seen by a real person. In order to get past these bots or these digital gatekeepers, we recommend that people use industry-specific terms on their resume and even keywords from job descriptions that they're interested in.
Interesting. Okay, great advice. What feedback have you heard from older job seekers about what they say they feel, whether their age either helps or hinders the process of finding a job?
Many professionals in their 50s, 60s, and 70s do feel that age discrimination can hurt their chances of either getting a new job or even advancing in their current career. Our AARP research consistently shows that 64% of people 50 and older have either seen or experienced age discrimination in the workplace. But given employers' need for talent in this tight labor market, it does make great business sense to hire experienced older workers. And research shows that 77% of all workers value the experience and skills that their older colleagues bring to a job.
Okay. What's the importance of networking during the job search?
Networking is critical to any job search. Reaching out to friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers, and letting them know that you're looking for new job opportunities is key. And if you're not on LinkedIn, now's a great time to join. Make sure that you include a recent professional-looking profile photo and make sure to fill out the skills section. LinkedIn members who have at least 5 skills listed in their profile are 27 times more likely to be discovered by recruiters. LinkedIn groups are another great way to connect with other people in the same industry, to share insights, experiences, maybe ask for advice, and network.
Now, I have heard that sometimes there's employment scams on LinkedIn. Do you have any advice for how to spot or deal with if they think that it might be a scam?
Watch out for red flags where people are asking for information, personal information, before you've actually talked to a human being, if it's either through text or email. You can always call an organization looking up their information online to make sure that either the job is real or the person or the industry is actually relevant and real and it's not a job scam or a fake job. We also look out for work from home jobs or any jobs that sound too good to be true.
Okay. Yeah. Great advice. What are some of the ways that AARP is working to combat age discrimination?
We educate not only the consumers on what their rights are and what to do if you feel like you've been discriminated based on age, but we're also educating employers, educating them on the value of older workers, the experience and value that older workers can bring to an organization, as well as how these organizations can be more age inclusive of all. We also advocate at both the state and federal level against age discrimination in the workplace.
Nice. Okay. And what resources does AARP offer for older Americans who are looking for work?
We have a ton of free resources for job seekers or people looking to switch careers. Everything from articles to job search toolkits to on-demand webinars. And you can find them all at aarp.org/work.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, that website is aarp.org/work. aarp.org/work. You'll find all the resources that AARP put together for older Americans who are looking for work this year. That includes free resources for job seekers, free resources for those looking to switch careers. 24% of respondents to the survey who are over 50 said they are looking for new jobs and new opportunities this year. So if you're one of those, that's a great place to start. aarp.org/work. And we've been speaking today with Carly Ruskowski. She's the Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming for AARP. And Carly, some fantastic tips and advice that you've given today, as well as some very interesting insight from your latest survey. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Kevin Kenny, co-founder and co-CEO of Level All, and Afia Johnson-Thornton, college director for Level All. We're more than 6 months away from the next school year, but it's not too early for students to be planning. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you. We're honored to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So, Kevin, what exactly is Level All?
So Level All is a powerful college and career readiness platform. We support students, families, counselors, high schools, colleges, as they help individuals navigate these important journeys of navigating high school and then to college and then to a career. And we're really excited about our efforts throughout the state of Nevada.
What does the name Level All mean?
So the name Level All is all about leveling the playing field. And we know that the playing field's not level. So that's our mission, which is to provide students and families and guardians with everything they need to map this journey of life all in one place.
Nice. And what makes Level All different from other platforms offering educational guidance for college and career readiness?
So first of all, at Level All and levelall.com, you can find everything you need all in one place. So whether you're navigating high school or the college path or career or learning financial literacy or life skills, everything all in one place. Secondly, it's super engaging, 20,000 pieces of short form engaging content. Third is it's all journeyed and personalized for you. So you onboard, you answer questions, you declare some interest, and magically the content maps to you and evolves. It almost feels like you have this personal counselor with you throughout your entire journey of life. And it's all about the journey of life. So you can use it from age 13 all the way through adulthood, all the way till you're 100 years old. That's why we built Level All.
And Afia, why is early planning important for the college admissions process?
As a former college admissions officer, I know that the college process can be overwhelming and confusing, not only for the students themselves applying to college, but for parents and counselors as well. So starting early will allow you to make sure that you have a college list that fits your needs, you have all the college options you want available to you, that you have all the college funding options available that you want, and that you minimize stress throughout this process. Starting early can ensure that all three of those things happen.
If I could jump in there, as Afia indicated, it's all about starting early, and we are really passionate about helping you do that at Level All. But that's half of the equation. The other half of the equation is making sure that you transition to college, you find success, and that you actually get a job and a career. And that's equally as important. And we're really excited about doing that at Level All.
Yeah, that's definitely all important. Now, what are some of the common pitfalls that could hurt a student's chances of admission to college?
I think one of the most important pieces here is exactly what we mentioned before, starting early. Starting early will make sure that you have as many strong options on the table as possible. And people probably don't realize or don't think about this often enough. The college process starts way before you're actually submitting applications. It starts when you're building your high school curriculum, when you're joining all of those extracurriculars and activities. So if you want to be sure that you have all the options you want available to you, you need to start organizing that now. You need to stay on top of deadlines, forms, and documentation, all of which you can do on levelall.com, where we organize everything you need to know when you need to know it at every stage in your college process, so you can get to and through.
Awesome. Now, Afia, you mentioned financing. How can students maximize their opportunity to receive financial aid awards?
I actually think that's a wonderful question for my colleague, Kevin.
Sure. So the first thing is you need to make sure that you file the FAFSA form really early, whether you think you're going to get financial aid or not. Secondly, you need to apply to any and all scholarships. And the great thing about Level All is that through the Level All Scholarship Finder, you have access to $22 million worth of scholarships. The third thing is you need to apply to the state financial aid. Fourth, you need to make sure that you create a college list that reflects your career and academic goals, but also you're applying to colleges that have strong amounts of financial aid, whether that be merit aid or need-based aid. But the punchline and the overriding theme is that there is money out there. You don't need to pay full price to go to college. Every single year, there's $4 billion worth of unclaimed Pell Grants that people don't secure. So we can walk you through step by step on how to navigate this financial aid process and get as much funding as you possibly can get throughout the system.
Wow, that's great. Now, you mentioned Level All allows students to look for those scholarship opportunities, but what's the scholarship sweepstakes that Level All is actually offering?
Yes, we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. So we are offering 42 scholarships totaling $50,000. The entering the sweepstakes is very simple. If you have a Level All account, you're already entered to win. And if you don't have a Level All account yet, join by January 31st and you'll be automatically entered to win.
Nice. Okay. So they get one entry on sign up and that's all they need to do?
Exactly. That's it. Super simple.
Awesome. And what's the final word that you would like to leave listeners with when they're deciding? Because I know, like you mentioned, this whole process can get overwhelming and presumably Level All is making it simpler, but there still might be that hesitation to sign up for another platform. So what would you like them to know?
Well, first of all, it's free for the entire state of Nevada. Secondly, when you sign up for Level All in one platform, you're really going to get anything and everything you need, whether you're navigating high school or adulthood and beyond. And then the final thing is that Level All, as the name would imply, it's about leveling the playing field. It's about supporting all families, all journeys. And we're really excited about our efforts throughout Nevada to support military families, foster youth. Level All is about providing support for an entire state and an entire community as individuals navigate this journey of life from age 13 all the way through. And we hope that you sign up at levelall.com, and it's a platform that you're going to use for your entire life.
Okay, awesome. And from age 13, typically they'd be pre-high school. So you're recommending that students, if possible, start this journey before they start high school?
Correct. As Afia has kind of highlighted, the college process is super complicated. And it's also a big investment of both time and money. And the earlier you start of building a high school plan that will then lead to a college plan, you'll have a greater level of success. And you can do all of that at Level All.
And if I might, one of the true hallmarks of Level All is that we don't just offer college content. You've talked a lot about that today, but we offer content for high school success, for getting your first job out of high school. If you're interested in a different post-secondary pathway other than college, careers, financial literacy, life skills, all of those things that are useful for, as Kevin said, from age 13 to 100. And you can find all of it on levelall.com.
Okay, fantastic. And give us one more time how they can enter that sweepstakes to win one of 42 scholarships.
Exactly. All you have to do is just go to levelall.com and create an account. You'll complete a very short onboarding survey. And after that, you're entered to win. Just be sure you do so by January 31st.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, that website is levelall.com. Levelall.com. Students can sign up for free, not just students, anywhere, as they've mentioned, anywhere from age 13 all the way through to age 100. Now, if you create that account by January 31st, you'll be automatically entered into their sweepstakes. You'll see that right on the homepage. Levelall is giving away $50,000 in scholarships. So they've got 42 scholarships that are being given away through these sweepstakes with a total value of $50,000. And all you have to do is sign up by January 31st at levelall.com. And we've been speaking today with Kevin Kenny. He's the co-founder and co-CEO of Level All, and also Afia Johnson-Thornton. She's the college director for Level All. And I really appreciate you both being here and letting us know about this platform. I know I haven't heard of it before, and I'm sure a lot of listeners haven't heard of it before. It sounds like a fantastic resource that you're offering for everybody to use for free, and some great value there, especially for kids who are navigating their way through high school and looking towards the future. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heather. Well,
thank you.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Grace Sika, Executive Director of Operation Warm. The national nonprofit is teaming up with Subaru to collect and deliver winter clothing to underserved communities across the country. Grace, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So, what is Operation Warm?
Operation Warm is a national nonprofit organization that provides children in under-resourced communities the gift of a brand new winter coat or brand new athletic shoes. And we do it in a way that connects those children to their community.
Okay. Why are families in underserved communities short on the basic essentials of winter clothing?
So for the children that we serve all across the country and in the Las Vegas area, we know that their families are spending about 80% of their income on food and housing alone. So for those families, the extra dollars just aren't there to ensure that every other need is met. And at Operation Warm, we believe that the gift of a brand new coat or a brand new pair of shoes and socks has a serious impact for these kids. It's the difference between getting to school and lower truancy rates and getting outside to play and having those opportunities to connect with their peers emotionally and socially.
Now, you said that you distribute the clothing in a way that involves the community. How exactly does the process work?
So this is, I think, the thing that I'm the most proud of in our organization is that we've really built a way for our program to scale nationally, and it's built on community resources. So at Operation Warm, we manufacture the winter coats and the athletic shoes and the socks to make sure that kids receive a product that they're really proud of. But when we have donors in a community like Subaru in this instance, we work with Subaru to identify other nonprofit organizations in the community that work with children every day. So that could be a Head Start organization, it could be a homeless shelter, or it could be a school in a high needs community. And those nonprofits that are with the children every day help us to validate the need and to make sure that we're serving the children who need it. So when we bring that all together, we end up with these really fantastic community events that not only support the children by making sure they have those items that allow them to get to school, the coat and the shoe, but we also support the administrators and the parents because they're able to feel that community connection and support from other people in their community who want to see the best for their children. And that is really, I think, the magic of what we do. That's why we use the term more than a coat, because we believe that how we meet that basic need really can have an outsized impact on everyone involved.
Awesome. So besides identifying the local nonprofits to receive the coats and shoes, how else is Subaru involved in your latest Operation Warm initiative?
Our partnership with Subaru has really been organic and beautiful and fruitful. And I choose those words really thoughtfully. Subaru is partnering, each retailer across the country is partnered with a beneficiary organization in their community. And that includes volunteer events where those people are giving the gifts directly to the children. In addition to that, we've had some really fantastic opportunities with the Subaru team to talk through our mission and to develop that. The best example is that about 4 years ago, we expanded our program to include shoes. And we had heard from the beneficiaries that we serve that proper fitting shoes was really a challenge for these children. And after talking through the program with Subaru, they layered on and said, you know, what we're hearing is that these communities and these children also have a problem with having socks that fit. So what we did was we added socks to the shoes, and now those products are co-packed together. It was received so well last year in our Subaru program that we've rolled that out nationally. And now every pair of shoes that we give across the country comes with two pairs of socks. So it's exciting to have Subaru's partnership at the community level, but also their involvement in what we do has really created some neat innovations that we're proud of.
So Subaru calls their initiative Loves to Help, and then what they collect during Loves to Help goes to help Operation Warm.
So that's an important distinction, Heather. We actually don't collect items for the children we serve. We manage our own supply chain to ensure that we have the right quality products for the children we serve, and also that there's a variety of style choices. And that was a decision that Operation Warm came to at our inception 25 years ago. And so when the children and their parents walk into these events, there's not one coat for them to choose from. There's 12 to 20 different coats that they get to choose from, different colors, different styles. So when we are working with organizations, they're volunteering at these distribution events or they're donating, but the collection is actually a very different model. That's not what Operation Warm does.
So can community members make financial donations, or does the funding come straight from Subaru's operations?
So we are so appreciative of what Subaru does, and this year we'll serve 130,000 children across the country with them. You know, beyond Subaru, Operation Warm will serve 1 million children. But despite helping 1 million children in 2,500 communities across the country, there's always more need than there are resources. So we currently have about 1 million children who have requested coats and shoes from Operation Warm. So financial donations are always appreciated. And so are the resources of time that people give. We've got a really great volunteer program that we're always eager to have an extra set of hands on. And you can learn about all of this at our website, operationwarm.org/Subaru.
All right. Awesome. So once again, operationwarm.org/Subaru is the website to go to if you want to find out more about, first of all, what Operation Warm does, the coats, the shoes, the socks that they distribute to kids across the nation through various local nonprofits, and how Subaru is helping with their Loves to Help initiative, operationwarm.org/Subaru. And we've been speaking today with Grace Sika. She's the executive director of Operation Warm. And Grace, it's so good to hear about what you're doing for the kids in the community, not just the Las Vegas community, of course, but communities across the nation where kids are in need of those warm coats, the warm shoes, the socks, and how you're partnering with Subaru to have an even bigger impact across the country. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing with us today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Heather, for your time.
At Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and safe. And that means safe at home, at school, and online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund. because we need each other.
Learn more at childfund.org.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The National Day of Racial Healing occurs each year on the Tuesday following Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and it's happening this Tuesday, January 21st. Find out more at dayofracialhealing.org. That's dayofracialhealing.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, January 27th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Friendship Circle, and Monday, February 10th at 8 p.m. benefiting the First Friday Foundation. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Shade Tree is holding its Hope for the New Year fundraising campaign through the end of January. Donations will support the shelter's comprehensive programming and operations while expanding its outreach. Any amount helps, and you can donate at theshadetree.org. That's theshadetree.org. And the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation is holding their 10th annual Winter Wine Fest on Friday, February 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. with a VIP experience at 6 p.m. at the Vegas Events Center downtown, 1201 Las Vegas Boulevard, just south of Charleston. Grab a glass of red while supporting those with bleeding disorders. Get your tickets at nv.bleeding.org. That's nv.bleeding.org.